MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Sanisha Pakrasamy, Chief Economist at Momentum. Sanisha, always appreciate the time. The South African Reserve Bank, their November 2025 FSR report, identifying potential AI risks. I want to touch around those risks, of course, but what is the FSR report?
Hi, Simon, and thank you so much for having me on the show. So what we have from the South African Reserve Bank twice a year is a financial stability review. And basically, this means that the South African Reserve Bank actually has a dual mandate. The first portion of that, which we know quite well, given the interest rate decision meetings we usually hear, this is to maintain price stability in the economy. But the second one, and I think it's less well known in the broader domain, is that they are there to also enhance financial stability. And so this report that they publish twice a year is to monitor and to review the risks to financial stability in South Africa, how they can mitigate some of those risks, and also look at the strengths as well as the weaknesses of the financial system. So it's quite a balanced report also, because it does take into account what we have done well.
That's a great point. And one of the things that they identify as a potential risk is AI. And, you know, this is not necessarily the AI directly, but the Mag 7 stocks, for example, 35% of the index, AI data center spend surging. They are worried around that, and not as it's going up, but if that turns on us and we see a correction, it could spill into global markets. It'll certainly spill into South African markets.
100%. And so it's really about the concentration of those technology stocks that tends to increase systematic risk in the system. So when we look at the so-called Magnificent Seven, their weight in the S&P 500 index has now basically tripled over the last decade. So it started off at about 11% in about 2015, and that's now sitting at 35%. So part of that is because they've had strong earnings, and they've got this massive dominance in digital and technology-related products. But of course, there has also been this big wave of global enthusiasm for artificial intelligence, and we have seen in the past that this can potentially be a bubble territory. And I think that risk can then spill over into the rest of the global economy. And, you know, that can have some big uncertainties for smaller open economies like South Africa.
And that's the key point. We don't have AI stocks on our market, but it's that spillover effect. It can weaken rand. We'll see money fleeing emerging markets, asset prices under pressure. I mean, you know, we're almost collateral damage, but that damage can be severe. I mean, in many senses, the 2008-09 crisis was nothing to do with us, but we felt the impact.
Definitely. And so whenever sentiment globally turns sour, that risk of sentiment tends to play out in the markets that are high beta. And South Africa is one of those high beta plays. And so when emerging markets do poorly because they are perceived as being higher risk, South Africa tends to take the beating as well. And so how that effectively happens is that when that risk aversion spikes and people get a bit jittery around market developments, we find that investment outflows happen from emerging markets like South Africa. Yeah. It also tends to correlate then with weaker currencies. And then investors demand a higher risk premium for holding, you know, South African stocks or South African bonds. And so that level of market volatility can negatively affect the asset prices across South African asset classes.
Yeah, and hence the tech sector and that concentration becomes a vulnerability to financial systems, ourselves included. They did have an interesting point. Their talk around the underlying productivity impact is actually limited. An MIT study says that firms are spending, but most of them are not actually finding any measurable benefit from their spend. And that perhaps is the, to me, the part of the key point of that worry.
This is the big worry here. So, I mean, in order to ascertain whether or not the artificial intelligence boom is actually being felt in the real economy, the only real measure that can capture that is whether or not productivity gains have been experienced to the same extent. Mm. So we've seen a lot of the spending happen. We know that data center spending, as an example, was one of the primary reasons that we had fixed investment actually increasing in the United States this year. But has it actually translated into any productivity and economic related gains on the ground? And that is not yet evident. So it can potentially mean that this bubble could potentially run out of steam at some point because you're not seeing those gains trading into the rest of the economy. Another angle is that artificial intelligence and this technology boom is very heavily dependent on energy. And I think there's still a very big question mark out there whether markets like the US have enough energy capacity to sustain this level of the boom in artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I was actually reading an article recently that said Texas needs to add as much energy as California in the next decade. I just don't know how that possibly happens. If we take a wider picture from this report, obviously the AI concerns, and we've been speaking about that. But other than that, our system is, that they say, assessed as resilient. I mean, our financial sector remains well positioned and broadly very resilient, notwithstanding potential outside threats.
And I think more importantly, they assume that this is going to continue for the next year period. So this report basically is a reflection on the last 6 months, but it also gives us a little bit of an indicator of what's going to happen over the next 12-month period. And, they believe that according to all the risks that they look at, which are cyclical financial risks, the things that move in conjunct with economic and financial cycles, things like structural and perpetual risks. So, things that are not affected by economic cycles, but are rather influenced by global dynamics or our own financial system or how the system is being innovated for the future. Mm-hmm. And then they also look at operational and event risks. And based on all these categories, by and large, most of these risks have receded since the last report was produced in June. So sitting relatively comfortably, even in a world where, geopolitical tensions and event risk are still quite high.
There is that, and I'm never going to second guess the Saab, but in this case, I mean, there is evidence on the ground. I mean, we've got the ratings upgrade. We're still junk, but moving in the right direction. The new inflation target, the medium-term budget policy statement, GDP was a low bar, but there is a lot to say. It's cautious optimism. We are moving in the right direction. Slowly, yes, but it is certainly happening.
Yeah, there's an inkling of good news and just in time for the festive season, I guess. But, I think that all these positive attributes in the economy suggest that we are finally turning the corner. So as you mentioned, we are coming off quite a low base. Mm. But I don't think we've had such a good spate of news in a number of years now. And so that could then lead to higher levels of both business and consumer confidence, which we know is the cheapest form of stimulus, as the president has told us in the past. And that can become quite reinforcing for further economic growth prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, as you say, it's a low base, but we will take the good news, particularly as you say, as we head into the holiday season. Sinsha Pakrasamy, Chief Economist, Momentum, always appreciate the insights. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.